nearer, my Savior, still nearer to Thee. This morning, for an opening, I'd like to look a little bit at Jesus, the friend of sinners. Invite you to turn to Luke chapter 7, several verses here. And in this portion, it talks about Jesus being known as a friend of sinners. Now, just prior to this, John the Baptist had sent a few of his disciples to see, is Christ the chosen one, the one who was sent from God? And Christ did a number of miracles and told him, go tell John what you have seen. And then he talked to the people about John the Baptist. After what we will read this morning, directly after that, it talks about how Jesus was in a Pharisee's house and a sinful woman comes and washes his feet and how Jesus related to the sinful woman. And I think it's interesting, Christ is asking people not to be, well, in verse 23 it says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Regardless if you're in a prison cell having questions of who Jesus is, or when you see people relating to sinful people, be careful about not being offended in the way Christ shows himself to the world. In Luke 7, verse 31, starting here, and the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. There's a book written by John Koblenz, Journey into Jesus. How many of you have this book? Okay, just several hands, not too many. It's a little bit that I'd like to read in here of what he says about Jesus being a friend of sinners. When we talk about friendship, we often think of, oh, someone we like to be with. But he says in the Old Testament, friend had, I'll just read here. There is another line of thought to explore in this name, friend of sinners. In first century culture, friend had a long-standing history beyond the way we use the word today. We think of a friend as a likable person who has proven to be companionable and nice, and with whom we can converse easily and freely. While Jewish culture may have included that understanding, friend was also the designation for a person with whom you made a pact, a covenant of sworn allegiance. So how does that come into play as we think of Jesus, a friend of sinners? Gives a little different meaning to it. And all of us have been there, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Later on, in Journey Through Jesus, says, although by the it talks about the covenant that Abraham had made with God, or God with Abraham, and it says, Abraham believed God, and he was called a friend of God, is the way it records it in James. There was a covenant between Abraham and God. Although by the time of the New Testament, the term friend did not always include these customs referring to all the rituals, it was still used to name parties who came to terms of agreement. After Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, for example, and Herod sent him back, Luke records that very day Pilate and Herod became friends with each other. This is not simply describing a congeniality between them, but some level of political alliance. These kinds of friends agreed to work together, hosted each other, and openly identified with each other. For the Pharisees to call Jesus the friend of tax collectors and sinners then was a way to mock his identity, his commitments, and his ministry. They were not simply saying Jesus was nice to the wrong people, but that he was their cohort, that these were the types of people to whom he was willing to commit his life and resources. And Jesus was willing to own the relationship. It was like posting his name and theirs on the same sign. Jesus, tax collectors, sinners, and associates. Faith in Jesus and repentance were the two requirements for sinners coming to Jesus. One's reputation did not count. One's past had no bearing. But every penitent, believing sinner came into the new covenant. In Ephesians chapter 2, in instruction class, we went over a few of these verses. The first five verses, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." What a gift. This morning in Sunday school lesson, we have a story of Judah, and it gets a pretty messy situation. But after this chapter, I don't think we read anything negative about Judah, but we read some positive things of how he stood up for his younger brother Benjamin in ways that he did not stand up for Joseph. And I think it's maybe he's a better example of us than Joseph is at times, of how we relate in life and of how God can redeem those messy situations. And so this morning, thinking of Jesus as a friend of sinners, we come recognizing our own undoneness. But it's a blessing that Jesus invites us to be his children, as it says in Ephesians 1, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's something he delights in, to have us come as his children. And so this morning, I don't know what you're facing, but I'd like to sing the song, "Just As I Am." Even if we're redeemed, we continue to come in our brokenness and in our neediness, even in our redeemed state. And so, Shane, if you want to lead us in "Just As I Am," song number 629.
Until the middle of verse 4, I would like the basses not to sing the bass line. Either sing melody, tenor, whatever feels comfortable to you. But at the word yay, we'll have the basses break into their part as well. Basses not singing until the middle of verse 4, and we'll have a tempo change for everybody.
Your song.